And welcome back to the second half of Earth First Radio. I'm Uncle Dennis, and there's more important information coming up, so please keep that pencil and recycled paper handy. And as we start off the second half of the show, we usually do, as always, our commentary. This week's commentary is entitled, Scientists Issue Dire Prediction on Warming. Faster climate shift portends global calamity this century. In a commentary written by Philip Pan. Philip P. Pan. I wonder if that's Philip Peter Pan. Who knows? Of the Washington Post Forest Service, printed Tuesday, January 23rd, 2001, from Beijing. In the most forceful warning ever yet on the threat of global warming, an international panel of hundreds of scientists issued a report predicting brutal droughts, floods, and violent storms across the planet over the next century because air pollution is causing surface temperatures to rise faster than anticipated. The report, approved unanimously at a UN conference in Shanghai and described as the most comprehensive study on the subject to date, says the Earth's average temperature could rise by as much as 10.4 degrees over the next 100 years, the most rapid change in 10 millennia, and more than 60% higher than the same group predicted less than 6 years ago. If new scientific models are accurate, rising temperatures will melt polar ice caps and raise sea levels by as much as 34 inches, causing floods that could displace tens of millions of people in low-lying areas such as China's Pearl River Delta, much of Bangladesh, and the most densely populated area of Egypt. Droughts will parch farmlands and aggravate world hunger. Storms triggered by such climatic extremes as El Nino will become more frequent. Diseases such as malaria and dengue fever will spread. Quote, the scientific consensus presented in this comprehensive report about human-induced climate change should sound alarm bells in every national capital and in every local community, says Klaus Toppler, head of the UN Environment Program. We should start preparing ourselves. The report was drafted by the Intergovernmental Panel on Climate Change, a group of hundreds of scientists established by the United Nations in 1988 to assess warming. The Shanghai survey relies on complex new computer simulations based on weather records from the past 150 years, as well as data collected from ice corings, coral, and tree rings, all of which can provide information on climate going back millions of years. The results of the new models persuaded the panel to declare unequivocally, for the first time, that mankind is responsible for global warming. Let me read that again. Mankind is responsible for global warming. There's no doubt about it, George. Rather than changes brought about by the sun and other natural factors. Quote, we see changes in climate. We believe humans are involved, and we're projecting future climate changes much more significant over the next 100 years than the last 100 years, said Robert T. Watson, an American scientist who is the chairman of the panel. The report cited new evidence that most of the observed warming of the last 50 years is attributable to human activities, primarily the burning of oil, gasoline, and coal, which produces carbon dioxide and other gases that trap heat in the Earth's atmosphere. Carbon dioxide levels have increased by 31% over the last 250 years, reaching a concentration unseen on the planet in 420,000 years and perhaps as far back as 20 million years, the report said. In 1995, by contrast, the panel reported only a discernible human influence on global warming. At that time, the group predicted a temperature rise of no more than 6.3 degrees by the year 2100. The panel raised that prediction by more than 4 degrees in part because successful efforts to reduce air pollution, sulfur dioxide, a common element of smog, have had the unintended effect of reducing particulates in the air that help deflect the sun's rays, the report said. The global warming issue has proved highly contentious among environmental scientists, with many respected figures arguing the Earth undergoes a periodic climatic changes with or without contributions from mankind. Fred Singer, a professor emeritus of the environmental sciences at the University of Virginia and former director of the U.S. Weather Satellite Service, called the new report a political statement based on theoretical models that does not conform to existing scientific data from thermometers at weather stations, Earth-circling satellites, and high-altitude balloons. Almost all instrumental data, he said, shows no warming trend in the last 60 years, and he called data that do suspect. But David Easterling, principal scientist of the Commerce Department's National Climate Data Center, noted that reductions in airborne sulfites, which act to cool temperatures, are expected this century because of such factors as the burning of cleaner coal. He called the physics pretty well established. The new calculations add urgency to international treaty talks on curbing greenhouse gas emissions that collapsed in November as participants disagreed on how much to cut emissions under a commitment made by industrialized countries in 1997. Negotiations have been complicated by a U.S.-led effort to soften the impact of required cuts by adjusting the amount of carbon dioxide that is absorbed by each nation's forests and farmlands. New climate talks are scheduled in Germany in May. Quote, only a few countries such as Britain and Germany are on track to meet their targets, said Wilson, who is the chief science advisor to the World Bank. The United States is way off meeting its targets. The United States is the largest producer of greenhouse gases, accounting for a quarter of the world's total. China ranks second, but its per capita amount is relatively low. And let's hope it stays that way. This has been a report, Scientists Issue Dire Prediction on Warming, by Philip P. Pan of the Washington Post Foreign Service. Moving on to more announcements. Maxam out of the Matol, calling all tree huggers. Join Earth First and Bay Area Coalition for Headwaters in Sacramento, California on Tuesday, January 30th to defend old-growth Doug fir forests from Maxam saws. We will protest at the office of Andrea Tuttle, director of the California Department of Forestry, in a demonstration that will include political theater. There are several logging plans on CDF's desk right now that they plan to approve in this area that contains some of the best intact old-growth Doug fir forest left. Support the Matol forest defenders that are camped out on the logging site and find out how you can get involved. Gather at 11 a.m. at the Resources Building, 1416 9th Street at the corner of N in Sacramento. Once again, that's 11 a.m. Tuesday, January 30th at the Resources Building, 1416 9th Street at the corner of N in Sacramento. If you want a carpool from the San Francisco Bay Area, call at 415-776-0497. That's 415-776-0497. Or you can send email to Lou at loumorgan@earthlink.net. That's L-O-U-M-O-R-G-A-N at earthlink.net. There is an Amtrak train from San Francisco, Oakland, Berkeley, and Martinez and other points to Sacramento. The train arrives in Sacramento at 10 a.m., if you get the right one, mind you. The real power crisis is out of control, corporate power being wielded to determine forest policy that is killing our rivers, our salmon, and our forests. Please join us at this critical time. Call the Headwaters hotline, 510-835-6303. That's 510-835-6303. Or try the Bay Area Coalition for Headwaters email at BACH, that's B-A-C-H, at IGC.org. That's BACH at IGC.org. And coming up February 9th, 10th, and 11th is the California Private Forest Land Organizing and Strategy Conference. California's independent environmental, community, labor, and political organizers and alliance builders are gathering to trade skills, tactics, strategies to plan for the future work in forests, watersheds, and the cities of the state. Proposed agenda includes sessions on utilizing the agencies and attending public hearings, strategies for sustainability, using water issues to connect the state, interfacing public and private land issues, how bad land use harms other people's private property, lobbying skills and strategies, mass and local grassroots organizing, building bridges with labor, Native Americans, and others, sharing skills and information, developing statewide and local ballot initiatives, and creating a statewide movement. Of course, the organic beer party with live entertainment doesn't sound too bad. That's happening Friday and Saturday night with a camp, weather permitting. All starts 4 p.m. Friday, February 9th, and ends 4 p.m. Sunday, February 11th. Pre-registration is required. There is a $35 fee, but you do get lodging and meals for that for the whole weekend. If you need a scholarship, there are some available, and they need volunteers to help out. I'm not sure if you get in for free if you volunteer to help out, but you might talk to them. Contact Environmentally Sound Productions. Their phone number is 707-923-4949. That's 707-423-4949. Or you can send your $35 per person check to Environmentally Sound Productions, P.O. Box 2254, Redway, California, 95560. That's Environmentally Sound Promotions, P.O. Box 2254, Redway, California, 95560. And once again, $35 advance registration is requested. You'll receive instructions on how to get there when you register. That's February 9th, 10th, and 11th in Mendocino, California, the California Private Forest Land Organizing and Strategy Conference. Uncle Dennis will be there. And stop the macaw whale hunt. The macaw whale hunt continues to threaten the legal protections accorded to all whales worldwide. Prior to preparing the legally required environmental assessment of the potential impacts of the macaw hunt, the federal government had already entered into contractual agreements with the macaw tribe to act as their partners in the management of a whale hunt. This clear bias in favor of the whale hunt before ostensibly assessing its impact is a violation of United States law. On June 6th of the year 2000, the National Marine Fisheries Service's original environmental assessment was voided by the Ninth Circuit Court of Appeals, which ordered the National Marine Fisheries Service to prepare another assessment. The court found the original environmental assessment fatally defective and instructed that the new EA be prepared in a way that assured, quote, an evaluation free of the previous taint, unquote. Instead, the National Marine Fisheries Service has now produced an environmental assessment that is even more obviously biased than the original. A 30-day comment period has commenced. Based on comments received, National Marine Fisheries Service will prepare the final environmental assessment. Read the draft environmental assessment at www.nwr.noaa.gov. That's www.nwr.noaa.gov. Here's some points to make in your comments. The 1997 IWC quoted granted for the hunting of gray whales explicitly required that any hunting must be undertaken by a native group that has recognized Aboriginal subsistence needs. That is, they'd starve to death without whales. The macaw whale hunt does not meet the definition of the Aboriginal subsistence whaling, as was made explicitly clear by the member nations of the International Whaling Commission when the proposal was brought before them in 1996 and again in 1997. The IWC said they don't qualify. The continued violation of the Aboriginal subsistence whaling guidelines at the IWC by permitting the macaw hunt is likely to cause significant environmental impacts worldwide by undermining an international whale conservation agreement. The discussion of resident whales in the environmental assessment is sketchy and inconclusive, yet on the basis of limited or non-existent data, the National Marine Fisheries Service finds no potential environmental impact on whales from this small subpopulation being hunted and killed. There's a clear bias in favor of permitting a hunt remains evident throughout the environmental assessment. National Marine Fisheries Service must produce a full environmental impact statement that truly takes a hard look at all potential consequences of the macaw whaling proposal. Send your comments to Gail Heim, IM, Office of Protected Resources, NOAA Fisheries, 1315 East West Highway, Silver Spring, Maryland, 20910. Once again, send your comments to Gail Heim, Office of Protected Resources, NOAA Fisheries, 1315 East West Highway, Silver Springs, Maryland, 20910. I'd like to thank the Sea Shepherd International for this bulletin. Their address, P.O. Box 2616, Friday Harbor, Washington, 98250. That's the Sea Shepherd International, P.O. Box 2616, Friday Harbor, Washington, 28250. You can contact them at 360-370-5500. That's 360-370-3500. That's their phone number. And their website, of course, is www.seashepherd.org. God's Valley, logging of Aci Thin timber sale to begin March 1st in Oregon. God's Valley is an area near Nehalem Bay in Oregon's Tillamook State Forest that contains some of the last old growth and late successional forests in the area. As a result, this area is home to many imperiled species, such as the marbled murrelet, the northern spotted owl, and the coho salmon. While most of the Oregon state forests were ravaged by wildfires beginning in the early 1930s, isolated pockets in God's Valley survived and have served as critical habitat for species ever since. Unfortunately, the Oregon Board of Forestry has approved a forest management plan proposed by the Oregon Department of Forestry that would allow God's Valley, along with most of the Tillamook and Clatsop State Forests, to be logged. For the Marble Muirland, the Oregon Department of Forestry is proposing only to protect in the short term 5,000 acres of habitat that will still be logged over time. Coho Salmon ODF proposes a 25-foot no-cut buffer on both fish and non-fish-bearing streams. For the Northern Spotted Owl, ODF proposes to earmark 40,000 acres called cluster areas in the Tillamook and Clatsop State Forests, liquidate all known nest sites in state forest land outside of the Tillamook and Clatsop area, and continue to allow the cluster areas to be logged over time. Oregon Department of Forestry is planning to log in an area of God's Valley that is known to be within a quarter mile of a marbled murrelet nesting area. ODF is proposing to move forward while the logging activities, despite the fact the Marbled Murrelet Recovery Plan and other scientific documents recommend that no logging occur in buffer habitat. To make matters worse, ODF is choosing not to survey this potential buffer habitat for any marbled murrelets that may be living there. Contact Governor John Kitzhaber, Oregon State Capitol, Salem, Oregon 97310. That's John Kitzhaber, Governor, Oregon State Capitol, Salem, Oregon 97310. You can phone him at 503-378-4582. That's 503-378-4582. Let him know that ODF's plans for our state forests are unacceptable. Ask him to demand the cancellation of the AC Thin timber sale. And, of course, also call as many times as possible Ross Holloway, H-O-L-L-O-W-A-Y, Oregon Department of Forestry's Prime Forest Program Director, 503-945-7348. That's 503-945-7348. Tell him in no uncertain words that ODF plan stinks, and he can start to improve it by canceling the AC Thin timber sale in God's Valley. Call him often, call him today, and tell him to save God's Valley. If you want to get involved, call the Cascadia Forest Alliance. Their number, 503-241-4879. That's Cascadia Forest Alliance, 503-241-4879. And, of course, you can go to the web, www.cascadiaforestalliance.org. And the Pennsylvania Game Commission has announced a new Endangered and Threatened Species section on its website to assist teachers, students, and others who want current information about the Pennsylvania State Wildlife Species of Special Concern. The new section includes detailed profiles of 14 endangered and 8 threatened wild birds and mammals, and a quick reference to all of the state's endangered, threatened, at-risk, and extirpated species. That means they already killed them already. Here's the website, www.pgc.state.pa.us, and click on Wildlife. Once again, that webpage, www.pgc.state.pa.us, and select Wildlife for the Pennsylvania Game Commission Endangered and Threatened Species List. And greetings, friends, from the Rainforest Information Center. They'd like to tell you about their Rainforest Information Center Annual Report 2000. That's www.forest.org. And check out some of their other campaigns, their Gold Campaign, their Panacocha Rainforest Protection Campaign, all kinds of stuff. They also have the Instant Cyber Rainforest Jukebox Benefit. That's at www.rainforestjukebox.org. Uncle Dennis told you about that last couple of weeks, but it's www.rainforestjukebox.org. Click on the music, listen, and raise money to save Ecuadorian forests. Also, they'd also like to tell us about the Deep Ecology Tour 2001. John Seed and Ruth Rosenheck are going to be touring in the United States and Europe in June and July of this year. And, of course, you can go to www.forest.org and check out their Deep Eco Skill. If you're offering deep ecology workshops, let them know so they can help spread the word. And, of course, all that other stuff. Thank you. The Rainforest Information Center, forest.org/RIC. That's how you get there. Let's see, we got a little time here. From Madison, Wisconsin, the nation's leading river conservation groups have collaborated to produce a dam removal toolkit. Damn, what a good idea. This toolkit, a video and a handbook, will help meet the dramatically increasing need for information on dam removal as an option. It's not dam removal as an option, it's dam removal as what we ought to do.
For the first time, citizens and groups have a tool for general education and a tool to help them advocate for river restoration through dam removal in their communities. Many conservation groups and river ecologists consider selective dam removal to be one of the most significant river restoration opportunities of the 21st century. In coming years, thousands of communities across the U.S. will be faced with the decision to repair or remove an old dam. Experience has shown that selective removal of old, unsafe, or uneconomical dams, especially smaller dams, can eliminate safety hazards and result in significant cost savings to dam owners, who are often the communities themselves. The video, Taking a Second Look, Communities in Dam Removal, is a 22-minute video intended for general public education. The 126-page handbook, Dam Removal, A Citizen's Guide to Restoring Rivers, is a step-by-step process for pursuing selective small dam removal as a river restoration tool. If you'd like to request a copy of the video, contact Trout Unlimited. Their number, 608-250-2757. That's 608-250-2750. And ask for the Taking a Second Look, Communities in Dam Removal video. You can also contact American Rivers at 202-347-7550. That's 202-347-7550. And the handbook, you can contact the River Alliance of Wisconsin. Their number is 608-257-2424. That's 608-257-2424 to order a copy of Dam Removal, A Citizen's Guide to Restoring Rivers. Or you could call that good old Trout Unlimited number again, 608-250-2757. There's a lot of places to ask for more information, but they're all the same phone numbers. You got them already. Get out there and do some damn night work. Snowmobile trespass is eroding wilderness. Yes, it's happening everywhere. Snowmobilers illegally riding in places they do not belong is a growing problem, which is degrading wilderness areas. The machines disrupt solitude and quiet places and reduce secure habitat for rare species like wolverine, lynx, and grizzly bear. The Last Refuge campaign is working to document snowmobile trespass in roadless and wilderness areas in Montana and elsewhere. That's the most of us. To demonstrate the severity of the problem and pressure the Forest Service to increase patrols to catch law-breaking snowmobilers in the act. If you'd like to participate, contact Adam at the Last Refuge campaign. His number, 406-542-7343, 406-542-7343, or send email to ariss13@hotmail.com. That's ariss13@hotmail.com. Report that snowmobile trespass, or you could even get a fact sheet about the problem. Well, unfortunately, all I could do is tell you that Casey Neal will be appearing in Portland on February 1st at the Snake and Weasel. I believe that's at 9 p.m., February 1st, Portland, Oregon, Snake and Weasel. Casey and Zach are going to play some short sets, and they're opening for Katya Karover is having her CD release party. Anyway, look for Casey there. Anyway, that's all the time we have for news and announcements. To get news or announcements from your bioregion to Earth First Radio, send us email at cruzief@cruzio.com. That's C-R-U-Z-E-F. At cruzio.com. You can send letters to Earth First Radio, P.O. Box 344, Santa Cruz, California, 95061. That's Earth First Radio, P.O. Box 344, Santa Cruz, California, 95061. If you'd like to make a donation, make it payable to Santa Cruz Earth First. If you're going to send an announcement, please send it 3 weeks in advance. If you want more in-depth news and information about the Earth First movement, please subscribe to the Earth First Journal. Their address is Post Office Box 1415, Eugene, Oregon, 97440. Once again, that address, Earth First Journal, P.O. Box 1415, Eugene, Oregon, 97440. You can listen to Earth First Radio live on your computer every Thursday night at 8 p.m. Pacific Standard Time. Go to the website www.microradio.net/FRSC. That's www.microradio.net/FRSC. If you got an MP3 player, you can listen in. There's lots of great shows on Free Radio Santa Cruz, so listen in anytime. And you can always find Earth First Radio archive shows on the World Wide Web at www.radioforall.net. That's www.radio4all.net. And once again, that's streaming MP3 files. Or you can FTP down the whole darn thing and have it for yourself. Rebroadcast it on your local station. Earth First Radio is carried on a growing number of free speech and non-commercial radio stations. We could be appearing on your local station. Just ask them to. It's free. Earth First Radio is produced in the studios of Free Radio Santa Cruz. Our music was written and performed by Daryl Cherney off the CD Keep It Wild. I'm Uncle Dennis. Thank you for listening. And now we're going to listen to some music off a CD called If a Tree Falls. And this one's called Where Are We Gonna Work When the Trees Are Gone? Jello Biafra, Mojo Nixon, Earth First Radio.